was watching a senator the other day on television through a newscast, and I couldn't help but think, what if that senator started to teach something different other than the governing authority, started to teach some new laws or something different, not actually upholding the rules of the House, whether, you know, be the Senate House. Of course, there are some creationists, some that believe in the Messiah, believe in the Almighty, and they are disturbed because the Ten Commandments are coming down in different locations. But, you know, a lot of people aren't necessarily bothered by that. But they would be bothered, interestingly enough, if a senator was to be breaking the law, was to be doing something different other than, you know, teaching what he's supposed to be teaching. A law or a lawless society breaks down and there's chaos. People almost become like animals. But we're not animals. We are to follow rules. We are to be an obedient people. The law is to be obeyed, but legalism is not. Now, what do I mean by that? How is that to be understood? Well, today we'll consider the law versus legalism. The idea of legalism, as defined by the Bible versus what is being spoken of today, can be understood, but it takes a little digging. And if it can't be understood by an individual, it opens up the door for more understanding and to see the blindness that is over the eyes of so many today. Did you know that Yahshua himself was governed by rules, by laws? That he was and is still under Yahweh's governing rule? That is the law, and not legalism. John 5 and verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father, which has sent me. You know, just like the senator that would be upholding the law of the land, he's under authority. I mean, he's under someone's authority. So he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But if he doesn't, then there's consequences. He would be taken out. And I think we can relate this to ourselves even. If we start being a lawless people in Yahweh's sight, then we're no better than the rest of the nations and we'll be ousted. It's something that we have to consider. Ezekiel 36 is 36, 26 through 27, but we're given help. We're given help. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. How silly is it to think that a different spirit is given today to just give us license to be lawbreakers of that old Mosaic law. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not a burden. What was a burden? Well, as we go further, we'll see what was the burden. What was legalism as defined by Scripture? But what has happened? Why aren't people waking up? 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12, speaking about the end of the age, before, you know, tribulation happens even, says, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. The love of the truth, what is that? For this reason, Yahweh will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. We're always wanting to satisfy ourselves. Oh, I don't want to listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm going to do because that's what I want to do. We're to be considering Yahweh and what he wants us to do, and to willfully go against him is surely going to bring condemnation and punishment, unless we repent. But this is specific to the end of the age, this 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, a time comparable to the time of Noah, when everyone was doing their own thing. But then the flood came and took them away, except Noah and his family, who Yahweh would essentially start over with. For those of the body of Messiah, we are like Noah in the sense we are to be like him. We're to be blameless in this wicked generation, which Noah was in his generation. But we have our work cut out for us. We as witnesses to others about the basics of what Yahweh expects from his people, because it has been forgotten. Four areas of thought I'd like to cover today. First, the early 3rd and 4th centuries set the tone for anti-Semitism and the removal of anything Jewish. Number 2, legalism has come to mean anyone trying to save themselves by works rather than by grace. Doesn't that sound awful? Number 3, the accumulation of these two items, that is anti-Semitism and the legalism by works, not by grace teaching, has driven people to explain away certain passages of Scripture, taking them out of context and distorting the intended meaning. Number 4, the law was kept in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and will be kept in the coming kingdom. So the question's been asked before, why wouldn't we keep them now? It's a very good question. Okay, the first one. Early 3rd and 4th centuries set the tone for anti-Semitism and the removal of anything Jewish. Well, let's take a look at some history. In the History of the Christian Church by Schaff and Schaff, probably not pronouncing that correctly, but it's pretty close, I think. But they say, in the course of the 3rd century of the Roman practice gained ground everywhere in the East. A Roman practice, interesting. And to anticipate the result was established by the Council of Nicaea in 325 CE as the law of the whole church. This council considered it unbecoming in Christians to follow the usage of the unbelieving, hostile Jews, and ordained that Easter should always be celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon succeeding the vernal equinox, March 21st, and always after the Jewish Passover. If the full moon occurs on a Sunday, Easter Day is a Sunday after. By this arrangement, which is very convenient, that's my input, Easter may take place as early as March 22nd or as late as April 25th. Now, if it sounds like I'm being a little sarcastic, it's because I am. Because I cannot believe the blindness that we're seeing today and the confusion. It is absolutely terrible and awful. It is Babylon around the world. It is Egypt. And we've got to come out. Otherwise, we are going to suffer the tribulation. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to receive Yahweh's wrath. We want to escape that and be protected. And we can be anywhere. We don't have to run to a particular location. 10,000 will fall to the right, 1,000 to the left. And yet, we can still be standing if we're doing the things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And He loves us, and He is merciful. But in this correct understanding of the historical record, we see the following. Number 1, anti-Semitism. Number 2, man-made calendar rules. Number 3, false days of worship implemented with disregard to Yahweh's Passover. Wasn't the Jews' Passover? Leviticus 23:5 shows that. But Number four, also it shows the unscriptural power influence of a religious organization. An organization that was essentially started by a sun worshiper who set the day, the venerable day of the sun, S-U-N, to come together and worship, because that was a great day to take off. Saturday or the seventh day was a great day to work, as often was the case. And we've been working with merchants that have said the same. Oh, Saturday is a great day for sales. You've got to come in. Yahweh says no. And so sometimes we lose our jobs. Sometimes we suffer in this world. But if we're suffering for the sake of the truth, we'll be greatly rewarded. And that's a positive. So we need to keep it thinking about the positive things and consider our calling and make sure that our calling is sure, that we're doing those things which are pleasing to the Father. And, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on the Messiah. Well, we emphasize the Messiah too. But even the Messiah, who were to follow in the footsteps of, said, you know, look, we're to obey every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. That's what we're to live on. And he set the example. His custom was, he went to services on Sabbath. We're to follow in that way. Otherwise, we're not in the way. We need to be in the way of Yahweh, in that path. And we'll see a little bit later just what that is. But I think we know here, but there's new people listening, and you know, maybe they're getting a sense that not all is well in churchianity and in the religious circles that are out there. But, you know, even before we see the fourth century things changing and anti-Semitism occurring heavily, I mean, it was bad. But even before that, it was occurring through Nero. Nero, first and second century rulers like Nero, accuse the Jews and other believers of setting fire to the city. You think that fared well for the Jews or the believers? Vespasianus was at war with the Jews who had been in revolt in the year 66 CE. Why were they in revolt? Well, the conditions were bad for them. Hadrian refused the Jews access to the new city of Aelia Capitolina. That wailing wall is probably a leftover wall from Aelia Capitolina, this new Roman city. But the Jews weren't allowed in there. They were considered filthy, dirty. Don't come near us. We don't want your ways here. Well, turns out that the Jews, as they followed Scripture accurately, were following Yahweh's ways. So to look at the Jews, you know, say that, well, that's their way. No, it was Yahweh's way. They were rejecting Yahweh for the most part. But we'll take a look at something else that they were doing as well. And some of the people got sidetracked because of it. Today, there is still anti-Semitism and trouble by others who claim to be followers of the Savior. When someone does start to understand the history of what has happened, they get labeled a Jew or trying to save themselves through legalism. Oh, dear. Number two, legalism has come to mean anyone trying to save themselves by works rather than by grace. Okay, let's consider this. Let's look at the letters in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. What's he speaking of? He's speaking of being willed to do the right things. You know, a lot of the problems that we have today is with the flesh. We want to do our own things because it feels good to our flesh, our senses. What's pleasing to the eyes, what's pleasing to the touch, what's pleasing to the, you know, the senses. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, you know, I've got to take control of my flesh. because my flesh will take me down a different road, not the road that I need to be on. There is a danger for us to be complacent as we look around and find most people are pursuing everything under the sun. So, you know, we get the sense, well, why shouldn't we? Well, Joe and, you know, Jim over there and Bill and, you know, they all got really nice stuff. I need to pursue all that. Well, it's going to take time. Well, I'm going to have to work those weekends and get those sales. Like my boss said, you know, Saturday is the best day for sales. People get off work and they want to, you know, go out for the weekend and buy stuff. Yeah, I didn't think about that when I went into sales years ago. But I learned real fast that employers didn't want me gone on the weekends. But the one thing that is different about the body of Messiah is that it is set apart. It is to be holy. It is to keep the Sabbath holy, as Yahweh is holy. And, you know, the body was called out. It was chosen to do what Israel failed to do. They were unbelieving. They failed to be obedient. They went backwards and not forwards for the most part. They failed to be an example to the rest of the nations. By our example, we say who we are. We don't have to actually say it all the time. Just by our actions, we let people know what we're doing. And they see that example, and, you know, eventually they'll be able to, you know, the day of visitation, it says, they'll be able to glorify Yahweh, because they'll be given understanding, no doubt, about what has happened. But we're far and few in between right now. And I feel like going out into the streets and, you know, because that's the time period that we're in, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, no one's showing up for the wedding. Let's go out and get some people, you know. But we'll have to make sure that they're dressed right, that they learn, that they're not just, you know, believing, but there's actually something to back up their belief. Some works. But what we're running into is any self-proclaimed Christian is typically going to say the law cannot be followed, and therefore Yahweh came up with a different plan of action so that we can be saved by faith alone, and they view any attempt to obey Torah as legalistic. While there are things we can do today without a standing, or while there are things we can't do today without a standing temple and being under a different priesthood, it doesn't make us legalistic to obey fundamental commandments, such as observing the Sabbaths or eating clean or being specific as to what we should partake of during Passover observance and when we should partake of Passover observance. It is the will of Yahweh that we're careful to observe these things properly in Messiah. What is not right is doing what is right in our own sight. Okay, so what is not right is what we think is right in our own sight, essentially. So we have to default to the black and white that we see. We can't just rely on feelings and, you know, emotions to lead us. Well, this is love. Well, you know, love can get people in trouble. A lot of teenagers have found that out, you know, and others, by not doing what's right, has led to problems lifelong. So there are consequences. But while there are things we can't do today without a standing temple and being under a different priesthood, it doesn't mean it doesn't make us legalistic to obey fundamental commandments. This takes us to seeing what legalism really is and defined by what we find in Scripture. John 5, 9 through 10. And immediately the man was made whole. You know, Yahshua healed this man and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, these are the Pharisaical Jews, the Pharisee said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. It's not lawful to do that, not on the Sabbath. Well, the Companion Bible by E.W. Bullinger says, the rabbis made the carrying of anything from a public place into a private place, or vice versa, unlawful. It was their law. It was oral law. And this particular law is in the Talmud. I don't know. Sorry. I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm just up to here, I think, with what we're seeing. I think we're all getting a sense, why aren't people waking up? But Yahweh's word says they will wake up. I've been running a list, and there's at least six places so far in Scripture that I found that indicate tribulation is what's going to, that is what it's going to take to really wake up people. And it may be because of this idea that's out there that they'll be raptured away, that this pre-tribulation rapture will take us, whisk us away, and we'll be able to just be at peace. And it all sounds really good. I that would be nice. Just whisked away and not have to deal with any problems. But Yahweh tells us that, come out of her, my people. He doesn't say, I'm going to take you out from, the dangers that are coming, the punishment. So, Matthew 15, 1 through 3. But he does promise protection. His wings do cover, his spirit guides and covers. Then came to Yahshua scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Might as well just say Pharisees there. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Oh, how terrible. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of Elohim by your tradition? Today's so-called legalism and how it is defined is a false accusation against Yahweh's people. We are lawful, being justified in Messiah Yahshua. Why can't we all say that? We can't all say that because not everyone is lawful. They're unlawful. And yet they claim to hold the Messiah. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Elohim is eternal life through Yahshua the Messiah, our Master. We are forgiven through Yahshua's shed blood, a perfect sacrifice for us. It is not a sacrifice to take lightly, going your own merry way and living our life as we choose to. Acts 20, verses 28 through 30. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the assembly of Yahweh, which he has purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. This was all spoken of with tears as Paul was describing. He's a bit of a prophet in a sense because he knew what was coming. He could see it already happening. We were reading through 1 John. I never knew the letter that John wrote, that first letter, was specifically to deal with false teachers that were infiltrating the brethren and saying, you know, look, I'm actually, we don't know exactly what they were saying, but we know because of John's response that they were unlawful. So this stuff has spread and it has accumulated over the years. And with sun worshiper, emperor getting everyone together and establishing different laws against Yahweh's law. Now that's the problem. Laws against his law that break his law. You know, keeping the Sabbath, keeping it holy, it's not a problem to pick up a mattress. I mean, if you're wanting to move it a little bit or something. I mean, this person was healed, and he picked up this mattress, was told by the Savior, go ahead and go home, go rest, be joyful, you know, you're healed. Boy, the Jews, the Pharisees, just couldn't stand it, because he was telling them to disobey their law. But it was their law, and that was a burden. It was a burden on the people. They put these hedges around, but the hedges have ended up collapsing over Yahweh's word. The very thing that Yahshua lifted up, and he did lift it up, emphasized it, magnified it, told us it was good, told us that Yahweh is good. Is it perverse to say the law is done away with, that we are completely under grace? Obviously to us. But for those who are just coming out of deception from false teachers, it is not clear, because all they've heard is lies, untruth. They didn't have caring shepherds. Well, they had caring shepherds. They cared for themselves. And we've talked to shepherds, and they've said, I know this is the correct day, but if I teach that, I'll lose my job. It tells you where their priorities are. So we have a message, or we have messages like this to make things clear, to try to help for those who are being called out by Yahweh. So it's his spirit, it's not by might or by power, not by anything or any genius of our own self. You know, it's just Yahweh has things worked out, and he will work things out to the very end. But Paul also, he also clarified himself, knowing evidently that he could be taken out of context. After speaking about grace in Messiah, he says the following, Romans 6 and verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Whoa. That's, you know, how did he pose that question? Did he say, well, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in grace? No, I think he emphasized it so that you didn't misunderstand what he just said previously. You know, we understand we're justified Messiah. We also understand it's not a license to go and do our own thing. We're to do Yahweh's will, just as Yahshua did his Father's will. But Paul answered his own question by saying, may it never be, never. How long will the law last? Forever. Will it ever end? No, never. Why never? Because such a thought is absolutely perverted and against Yahweh's will for us. Romans 6, verse 2. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? It's not just that Yahshua covers us and takes away the death penalty. We are to die to a sinful life. We are no longer to be living out of Yahweh's will. We are to come and learn what his will is. That is his will. He tells us when he wants us to come together and learn and to grow. And there are times when, you know, we can, you know, be at home. In fact, when we plan for keeping the feast, there are specific sojourning feasts. We don't always have the means. We don't always have enough second tithe. We don't always have, and that's a condition. It's not an objection. It's a state of condition that prevents us. But, you know, Yahweh can overcome and or help us to overcome those conditions. But if our health is bad, you know, there are things that prevent us from doing as much as we would like. So we're to do the best that we can, given Yahweh's mercy and grace towards us. But a lot of us plan to keep the Feast of Tabernacles because it's a time which, you know, people can have that amount of vacation time, can have the funds, you know, for at least that time. But the other times, Days of Unleavened Bread, Passover, of course, is right there, so come for it as well. The Feast of Weeks, you know, it's just one day, but it's a day that happens to be on the weekend, in a sense, you know, figure the way the society is, that Sunday is usually considered a weekend. But it's always following after the seventh day, so you've got a couple days there in which you can come and be with brethren. We need you. We need to be helpful towards one another and lifting one another up in Messiah together before Yahweh when he tells us to come together. And he does tell us. And these are his appointed times. These are not some, you know, things we're making up. So it's important, that, and we're supposed to consider our calling. Make sure that it's sure by doing those things which are pleasing to the Father. And it's pleasing to him when he sees us coming together in peace and in love and in obedience. It should all be there. And it is there when Yahweh's Spirit is working and we're submitting to that Spirit in his truth. Acts 20, and I'm sorry, let's go to Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here's the patience, the endurance. It's going to take some effort. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yahshua. This is speaking of the end of the age. This is speaking about Yahweh's people. This is speaking about the saints. You know, I'd like to be a part of that. Well, the Sabbath is a sign between you and him. And so, as we come together, it's a sign between us and him. We're identified as his people through obedience to his word. And we can talk about dispensationalism or other things, but the facts are very plain. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Specific things that are for us and that we are to do. And again, it's not always easy. The road is filled with different obstacles, but we're given a spirit specifically to help and provide the strength to move forward, and not only move forward, but reach out with a helping hand to others to get them along the path as well, on the right path that leads into eternal life. Number three, the accumulation of these two items, that is, anti-Semitism and legalism, by works, not by grace teaching, has driven people to explain away certain passages of Scripture, taking them out of context and distorting the intended meaning. That is a major problem that we're seeing today. Things taken out of context, not looking at the whole, proof texting. It's just terrible. Romans 14, Colossians 2, Galatians 4, and other specific areas have been proof text to mean the law is no longer in effect for us who are in Messiah. Most of the teachers of Scripture today ignore Scripture. That doesn't even sound right, but it's true. Most of the teachers of Scripture today ignore Scripture and have chosen relativism, the belief that they can decide what is right based upon how they feel about something. They look at moral principles but neglect clear and simple instructions that are for us in Messiah today. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. This is one you'll want to make a note of and remember. For this commandment, speaking of the commandments, verse 8, previously, it says, which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. Okay? This is a contrary statement to those who say, we cannot keep the Mosaic law. We had a visitor here just recently. One of the first things she said, well, we can't keep the law. You've been lied to. It's not the truth. Read Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11. This is not out of reach. It's not too difficult. Who is lying? Who's the liar? Is Yahweh a liar? Absolutely not. The liars are those that Peter pointed out. 2 Peter 3, verses 13 through 14. And we'll actually go through 16. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Go to Psalm 119. Look up righteousness. What is that? But which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. 2 Peter, going on 3:15 through 16. And regard the patience of our master as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Want to distort, want to twist scripture, it's going to be to your destruction. And this is what Peter understood. The untaught and unstable distort the scriptures. They are not spotless and blameless. They are sinners, and they are teaching sin. Using Paul's letters that the law was done away with in Messiah, it is a lie. It is a monstrosity of a lie. One that we cannot overcome at times. Because the people have been blinded for so long by false teachers that they are just, the neural pathways are set, something, you know, but it goes back to the delusion that Yahweh has allowed to be put upon the land because of disobedience. Because, okay, you don't want to do what I say? Go ahead and believe that. And see where it gets you in the end. So we've got our work cut out for us. But we are to witness. We are to reach out. We are to not give up. We are to be obedient. We are to come together when Yahweh tells us to come together. We are to be loving and merciful and kind and gracious. But sometimes we just have to say, you know, I'm sorry. There's nothing more I can tell you. That it's up to Yahweh. We can't, you know, continue to argue with people and expect good results from that. It doesn't produce good fruit. And I remember Paul telling Titus, essentially, you know, rebuke someone that's divisive once, twice, but, you know, don't have anything more to do with them. And, you know, so there's love in Yahweh's hand, but there's firmness in it as well. Second Peter 3 and verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. Can one fall from grace? You bet. The way to do it is to start living an unlawful life after living a lawful life. An unlawful life is essentially what is under the wording here of unprincipled. King James says wicked, but it's really meaning those that break through the restraint of the law according to Strong's. I know Strong's isn't always accurate, but in this case, I think it's spot on. The wording unprincipled men literally means lawless men. What letters are prominently used to try to show that the law was done away with? We've already named them, a few. Romans, Colossians, Galatians. In other words, Paul's writings. These men are using Paul's writings to justify unlawfulness. It's wrong. Peter knew it was wrong. He's warning the brethren, hey, look what they're doing. Stay away from that. Be spotless. Be blameless. Don't follow them over the cliff. But just like people said, or Peter said, you know, they're unlawful, and people are still oblivious to the effect of what's going on. It's hard to see. It's hard to comprehend at times, but once you start to see the whole picture, you get a sense of what's going on and what Yahweh's doing, and he's gathering first fruits through his son. But there are conditions that you know, we're to make our calling and election sure, to be part of the elect. You have to make sure that happens by choosing what's right, and by doing so, we end up choosing what's life. So, number four, the law was kept in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and it will be kept in the coming kingdom. And there's numerous scriptures concerning these things. But let's try to go back to the earliest time concerning keeping the law, the earliest commandments. Genesis 26, 4 through 5. I will multiply your descendants. This is Yahweh speaking to Abraham, his name was changed. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. He did it all, and he did it right. Genesis 18, 19 goes back even further. 18, verse 19, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of Yahweh by doing righteousness and justice, so that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham what he has promised or what he has spoken about him. You remember the last time we looked at the Eliyah message? It's not just that our El is Yah, which that name means, but the message is one of repent and go back to the hearts of the fathers. Be attracted to what they did, because what they did was to have the heart that Yahweh is seeking after and the right attitude. He wants us to be humbly coming together before him and doing those things which are pleasing to him. And it's not always easy. We have different things that we all deal with in the flesh. And it goes back to Paul. Paul's saying, you know, look, I've got to keep my flesh under control. I need to do what Yahweh wants me to do. You know, otherwise I might be disqualified, is what he was saying. So we have to consider those things and try to encourage one another as the days are coming to a close. The hearts of the fathers, like Abraham, was to obey Yahweh. It's a simple fact. But going back even farther, Yahweh commanded Adam and Eve, saying, "Thou shalt not." Genesis 3:1-4. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has Elohim said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden?" You just hear him. "The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat from it nor touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die." He probably said it with some emphasis, maybe even laughed. I mean, we don't know exactly, but we know that the record is here for us to read. That's what he told her. First recorded lie. And it's the same kind of lie that's being shared with people today. You don't have to keep that old Mosaic law. You don't have to do those things today. Just believe, have faith. Everything's going to work out just fine. Satan is behind it. Satan is a deceiving spirit. And we need to wake up and make sure that we're not deceived or fall by the wayside and that we become somehow disqualified. Stay strong, move forward, and rely on Yahweh's Spirit. You know, the law of Moses, the Mosaic law, the laws of Moses are the laws of Yahweh. And that's hard for people to understand even, but that's just a basic truth. 1 Kings 2:3-4. "Keep the charge of Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies." Just like what Abraham was doing. I mean, he's doing those things before Mount Sinai, before the Ten Commandments were even given. "But according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that Yahweh may carry out his promises which he has spoken concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." But we know what has happened, and we should be seeking to be grafted back in, and through baptism in Yahshua's name and through obedience to Yahweh's instructions, we are part of the body. We are part of Israel. We are been brought back into the family. Whether or not we were formally understanding of the covenant or understanding of who we were, we now are starting to get it. And so we're doing what is right in his sight. Striving to be on that straight and narrow and go through that narrow pathway, the narrow door, which leads to eternal life. So were Yahweh's laws taught in the New Testament? Absolutely. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by Yahweh, not by man, I might add, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of Elohim may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This points not only to the first five books of Moses, but also the other writings, such as the Psalms, the Proverbs. We're also to pay attention to what the minor and the major prophets spoke, as it is all inspired by Yahweh and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for the training of the man of Elohim, that he may be doing good works. But it all teaches of his way. And we have the New Testament letters as well, which is very helpful for us to gain better understanding. But are Yahweh's ways going to be kept in the coming kingdom? Okay, looking at the past, New Testament, future, even now, there's we are to be obedient. Isaiah 2 and verse 3. We're going to see something interesting here, a couple different things. But and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. It's going to be an exciting time. It says, for the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Okay? When you look at what is being, what this is saying, it's saying that his ways, paths, laws, and word are pretty much on the level with each other. An equal ground. The interesting thing is, the people coming into the kingdom as a physical people are not saying, let's go up to learn the law. They are saying, let's learn of his ways and his paths. It sounds as if they are Christianized and not yet willing to say they want to learn the law, because they've been brought up in such a way that the law has been, you know, ostracized, has been put out of their minds. It's going to take time to change. And they're going to have to relearn. They're going to learn Yahweh's ways, which are his laws, which we're learning even now and are striving to be obedient to. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, when you get looking at some of these things, it more than meets the eye when you dig into it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 22. For you have been called for this purpose, since Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Sin is a transgression of the law. It's against the laws of Yahweh, something that the Messiah was not guilty of. And we've talked to people that say, well, he purposely sinned, showing that we don't have to obey the law. It's ludicrous. John 7, 16 through 17. Yahshua answered and said to them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of Elohim or whether I speak for myself. Why would he say that? Because he's living the example of Yahweh's instructions. John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He obeyed his Father. We are to walk as he walked, because we're serving the same Father if we're doing what the Father requests of us, commands us. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is what? It says here, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of Elohim has been truly perfected, or has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him, word should be ought, ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Do we want to be called a liar? I don't think so. We have Yahweh who gave instructions to his people. The people sinned. Yahshua came as a sacrifice to take away the death penalty that sin brings. Not so we can continue sinning, Yahweh forbid, as Paul stated. Yet people resist, and they say the Savior came to do away with his father's laws. It wouldn't be a very good son, I don't think. It isn't well known that he was actually fulfilling or building up, lifting up Yahweh's word, which is prophecy. In Isaiah 42:21, Isaiah, that's why we have to read all of Scripture and learn from it. Isaiah 42:21, Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. It was to be obeyed previously, New Testament times. It will be in the kingdom. It's to be now. And we are to honor the law and share with others, just as we have been taught by Yahweh's Spirit and his truth, and following in the example of the Messiah, who did just this by bringing up the law to a higher level, murder, adultery, these things. And he lifted up the law, not legalism. He lifted up and gave the example of love in action, not love without action, and not the love in the wrong kind of action, which the Pharisees did by making up their own laws, which covered Yahweh's laws. So let us do our part in choosing what's right and doing Yahweh's will.